Today is Septuagesima Sunday. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed, that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run not as at an uncertainty. I so fight not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, and drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. The gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 20. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. At that time Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace, idle, and he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just." And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he saith to them, "Why stand you here all the day idle?" They say to him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." And when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first." When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a denarius. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more, and they also received every man a denarius. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, "These last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and of the heats." But he answering said to one of them, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to thee this last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we begin the season of Septuagesima, which is a prelude to the Lenten season. We have just finished the time when we have been in earnest thinking about the birth of our Lord and the events that surround the birth of our Lord. And of course, it's a cause for great joy. Now all of a sudden, the priest wears violet, and we are in a time where we start to think about Lent, man's sin, his offense against God. In the breviary for today, the reading starts with the first book of Genesis. And so it's the mind of the church to turn our attention to things not quite as joyous as the season of Christmas, and to maybe move us from this state of somewhat you might call euphoria to think about things that are rather serious. The events of Christmas are important indeed. And they talk about that, of course, God promises a Redeemer. This Redeemer is meant to save us from our sins. And it's the purpose of our Lord's coming. It's the purpose of his birth. It's the purpose of the Nativity, is that he comes to save us from our sins. You have to remember that there was a purpose in all of this, and that our Lord's cross is overshadowing the manger, that he wants us to think about these serious things and to use the time that we have for the sanctification of our soul. It's not just that we can live our life in a state of where we just do whatever we want. We can enjoy whatever we want, enjoy whatever sinful pleasure we want, and then everything's fine. It's not. We have to change our ways. And in the epistle today, St. Paul reminds us that we are here, and he compares, and we are here in order to save our souls, and we have this goal in mind, the finish line, and that we need to work towards that finish line, towards that goal. It's interesting that he presents this to the people in Corinth that are accustomed to athletic competitions. And he compares the spiritual battle that we have with the goal in which an athlete runs to try to reach the goal first, to win the race. It is something that we need to think about as we go through our lives, because we need to aspire towards the spiritual heights. We need to work towards our perfection. If we try to simply get to the point where we save our souls by the skin of our teeth, we'll never make it. We'll miss the goal. We will not achieve our end. We have to aim towards perfection. Elsewhere in Scripture talks about, this is the will of God, your sanctification. Our Lord also admonishes us to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's not enough just to barely try to get in the door. We have to shoot towards the heights. We need to try to reach the perfection that God has ordained for us. And so St. Paul talks about the race. The race that runners run to achieve the crown. And it's interesting that today we can apply the same idea and see that what the athletes do in order to reach their end as well. Today, a lot of people are, I think, preoccupied with sports. They almost made it into their God. They're all worried about something that's going to happen a week from now. It's not even here yet. And they're all talking about it. I think you know what I'm talking about. Of course, the merchants are all trying to get whatever they can out of people who will be enjoying the event by advertising all kinds of things. And, of course, it's a big media event. It's a big media event. And this is, as St. Paul says, for a perishable crown. They also are advertising in advance the idea of the Olympics, the Olympic Games, and how important they are. It's interesting to see what these competitors do for these events. If you visit the training center in Colorado Springs, they have a training center for the athletes, and they work hours every day, hour upon hour every day. That's their full-time activity in order to compete. They train every day. without fail. They work every day in order to attain that achievement that they are seeking. They train every day. They are careful about what they do, making sure that they get the proper amount of rest. They also make sure that they watch exactly what they eat. They refrain from eating junk food. They watch their calories. They have special cafeterias where they watch exactly every item that's on the menu, tells you what its content is in calories, so they know exactly how much they're consuming, so they don't overindulge. It's amazing. It's amazing what they do, all for these athletic events. And as St. Paul is very clear, he says, he tells us this is for a perishable crown. And we are trying to reach heaven. We need to subject ourselves, be subject to the things of God, to refrain from those kinds of things which allow us to have any kind of sinful pleasure. We need to work towards the crown which we're meant to achieve. It's important for us to keep that in mind, to always keep that in mind, to remind ourselves of that fact. In today's modern world, there are all kinds of distractions that will distract us from that end. When you think about the idea of entertainment, sports, news, all these kinds of things, we are distracted from what is really important, from what really is our goal. And the media is such that it is very much involved in this. The media, which the people who are behind it really don't have much of a spiritual life. The large majority of them have no religious affiliation. They don't go to any kind of a church service whatsoever. And they're the ones who are the programmers, the ones who direct what is present, what is made available to the public at large. They, at the very best, distract us from our end. More commonly, they pervert us. They are perverse, and they pervert us from what we are meant to do. But yet, we spend hour upon hour watching the media and everything it tries to put before us, which ends up being an obstacle to what we need to do. Okay. We have to remind ourselves always what we're meant to do and to work towards that end. We need to, of course, reflect upon our spiritual end. We need to take steps to achieve that end for where we're made. How many of us spend an equal amount of time reading spiritual books as we do with watching the modern media, you know, in its various forms, either through TV, internet, all the other kinds of radio, these kinds of things? How many people spend as much time doing spiritual reading as they do involving in these kinds of activities? How many people come and spend time before the Blessed Sacrament? Spend time to come to Mass on a more frequent basis than just on Sunday. How many people maybe would come just even to make a visit? Say, for instance, you're dropping the kids off for school or picking them up, to spend a little bit of time after you drop the kids off for school to come in, make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Or when you come to pick up the kids before you pick them up, spend just a few moments before the Blessed Sacrament. You're here. Can a person drop in and say hello to God, to spend a little bit of time with Him? We're also busy, but busy doing what? Busy doing what? What are we so busy doing? And then when we grow old, we realize how much time we spent doing all kinds of things without really doing the things that we should be doing, taking the time out for God. We have to make that time. We have to make that time. We also, you know, have in previous, we have had previously, we've had crusades, rosary crusades, where we've asked the faithful to say the rosary daily and to offer penances and sacrifices as means of drawing down God's grace because of the problems that we have in the world, in the church, in our families. It's interesting when you start looking at the tallies for these events, for these crusades. You know, we ask that they would say 5 decades of the rosary on a daily basis for their crusades, something that Our Lady admonished us to do every day. But we're trying to make it so that we are faithful in doing that. Okay, so we try to encourage the faithful to do so. But it's interesting when you take the tallies of the rosary crusade, you take the total number of rosaries and for the month, you divide it by 30 or 31 to figure out how many days rosaries are said per day. And surprisingly, it ends up lacking in the number of rosaries because when you have the number of parishioners and there's significant fewer rosaries than the number of parishioners that you have, you realize that even though you're even having a crusade, even then, the daily rosary isn't being said by everybody. And here it is. We're supposed to be reaching for this goal. We're supposed to work towards this race. We're supposed to try to achieve that end. It shows us how weak we are. It shows us that we are not making the time that we, for our Lord, that we really need to do. So here we are. We're at the season of Septuagesima. We're even given a kind of its introduction so that we can get ourselves started. So we need to work towards that end. We need to take active steps, concrete steps, in order to sanctify our souls. So it's a time when we need to make the effort to put into our daily routine the things that we need to do to sanctify our souls, to abstain from some of the frivolities of life in order to reach the end. And so as we are here in the season of Septuagesima, we need to make those efforts, make those steps, to be fervent in our prayers, to be such that we take the time to pray, that we take the time to read important things. We have a nice bookstore downstairs, lots of good books. I'm sure that you haven't read all of them. Something that you can pick up and start reading and give fruit to the soul, provide nourishment to the soul. By the way, I'm not plugging the bookstore to make, I don't get any kind of a kickback from that. I'm not doing it for any reason like that. It's for your own spiritual benefit. It's for your own spiritual benefit. And so we have this time that we have that God gives to us. He has embarked by coming to us to save us from our souls in something that you might term, an activity you might term Operation Rescue, saving us from eternal damnation. He wants to save us. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to give us his help. But he can't do it if we don't cooperate. And so at this point in time, he's asking for us to give that cooperation, to work towards that end, to run that race so that we can reach our goal. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.